Covers the sports world in this half hour. We'll have a report from Grenoble, France on the Winter Olympics. And Mel Allen will be here in the studio with all of today's sports news and scores. And 2 minutes from now, Allen and Rossi see the humor in golf. I'm your timekeeper here, Ted Steele. First event, the Cow Sills, and we can fly.
Call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live in leading theaters and nightclubs all across the country. Marty Allen and Steve Rossi tell the jokes this time.
Right now, we'd like you to meet one of the outstanding golfers in America today. Here he comes, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello there.
Hello there. What is your name?
My name is Quits.
Your name is Quits?
Yeah, when I was born, my father looked at me and he said to my mother, let's call it Quits.
Well, you've played at the Concord Hotel. Tell me, how do you like the greens?
Oh, they're nice people.
What's the toughest thing about golf?
Getting in and out of the cart.
You play in the... Do you play in the 80s?
Yeah, I play in the 80s, but if it gets any hotter, I don't even go out.
Do you have a caddy?
No, I have a dirty old Ford.
See, how do you approach the ball?
Huh?
How do you approach the ball?
Oh, I walk up and I look at it and then I say, hello there, ball. What are you, some kind of a nut?
Well, what kind of putter do you use?
Putter? I use Oleo. I'm on a diet.
I heard that yesterday you just missed a hole in one.
Yeah, by 5 strokes.
Do you have trouble hooking or slicing the ball?
No, I have trouble hitting the ball. But I'm saying hello to it.
Have you ever shot a birdie?
No, but I threw a stone at a squirrel once.
Well, have you ever had an eagle?
No, I had a pussycat.
Can we see your form?
I only brought this one change of wardrobe with me.
Would you say that you have a hot iron?
No, but my laundry man does.
Well, listen, did you ever shoot Parr?
No, but I wanted to hit him in the mouth a couple of times.
Alan Rossi for Monitor on Stage. And golf fans, when you stop laughing, let me remind you that tomorrow Monitor continues live coverage of the Andy Williams Open Golf Tournament from San Diego. Here's Petula Clark and Kiss Me Goodbye.
We choose it, win or lose it. Love is never quite the same. I love you, but I trust you. Don't feel bad, you're not to blame. Give me goodbye, and I'll try not to cry.
Sports news in 1 minute, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Finally, I am here, India. I am the mountains of Kashmir. I have journeyed across the world to find wise man Heshi Yogi and the secret of happiness.
My son, for what do you search?
Tell me, wise Heshi, the secret of happiness.
Love, peace, flowers, Wetsons.
You mean like Wetsons hamburger restaurants?
Oh yes, Wetsons, where the sun always shines.
Wetsons? Will they serve those great hamburgers, chicken, fish, french fries, and shakes?
After all, you can't eat flowers. Wetsons is a taste of happiness on a bun.
And there's a Wetsons hamburger restaurant near you.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Just keep
at the Monitor Sports Desk now, Mel Allen with a look at today in sports. Mel?
Thank you very much, Ted. Peggy Fleming won a gold medal in the ladies' figure skating championships at Grenoble, France today. Congratulations to you, Peggy. Thanks for carrying the colors of the USA. How about that, Ted?
How about that?
The attractive teenager from Colorado Springs, Colorado, ran away with the event, as all but three of the judges gave her 5 9/10 points out of a possible 6. I'd say that's pretty good average.
Swell, Mel.
What time you go to bed, Ted? Miss Fleming's ballet-like performance drew applause from the audience, naturally. As a matter of fact, she got a real good, warm round of applause from them. She was fantastic. Her nearest competitor was Gabriel Seifert of East Germany. It was a dazzling performance by Peggy and helped to stem the flow of gold, let us say, from the United States by a few ounces at least. How about that? In other events, America's top hope in the women's downhill ski race, Karen Budge, fell during a practice run, dislocated the shoulder. Miss Budge was hurt about 90 minutes before the race when a male skier cut in front of her on the practice course. Now it's your turn to say, was it airmail? And I'll say, yes, special delivery. Francis Jean-Claude Killy says he'll come to the USA soon. Killy was among the first to win a gold medal in the men's skiing. He says he'll give up his amateur standing and retire from Olympic competition. Back here at home, it was announced today that the Houston Oilers of the American Football League will move inside beginning next season. Bud Adams, who owns the Oilers, says the team will play all their home games in the giant Astrodome in Houston come this fall. Well, all good things have to come to an end. And this one, I say, was a bit of nostalgia. Madison Square Garden will close tomorrow, the 42-year-old New York sports showplace. The old garden gives way to a shiny new Madison Square Garden recently built over Penn Station in Midtown Manhattan. To bring the end of an era to a close, the New York Rangers hockey team will meet the Detroit Red Wings and play host to the all-time greats of professional hockey. Following that game, the multimillion-dollar new garden will make its official bow with a Bob Hope, Bing Crosby salute to the USO. Whatever happens, it just won't be the same without the old garden. But there will be new flowers growing in the new one. There was one game in the National Hockey League this afternoon, and that one, the Detroit Red Wings and Boston Bruins fought to a 1-1 tie. It was costly for the Bruins, particularly since they lost all-star defenseman Bobby Orr, who faces knee surgery. Still another Bruin, Phil Esposito, was also shaken up during the bruising battle. In golf, Al Geiberger and Jack Nicklaus caught young Tom Weisskopf in the third round of the $150,000 Andy Williams Open in San Diego, California today. Now, three men are tied for the lead with 205 after 54 holes. NBC Television will carry the final round tomorrow live from the Torrey Pines Country Club. And this final note, Olga Paul, who won the downhill ski crown at Grenoble, is considered one of the prettiest girls ever to squeeze into a stretch racing suit. The dark-haired beauty from Austria is a gas station attendant when she isn't skiing. Asked if she ever considered a movie career, she said, well, no, I prefer shooting down a track rather than shooting a movie. Well, no laughs, all right. Well, known for wisecracks, Olga started the situation off and startled the audience along with it when she was asked for her measurements. She wouldn't tell. Instead, teased that she sometimes runs out of tape when sealing her racing suit around her chest. That's the late sports news, Ted. Take it away, buddy.
Okay, Mel. Mel Allen will be back tomorrow, I hope, with sports news and scores and measurements. And we'll have a report from the Winter Olympics right here after the Raycon of Singers with We're a Home.
We're a home. We're a home. We're a mess, but we're a home. We came away.
Monitor report direct from the 1968 Winter Olympics in Grenoble, France. Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, makers of better idea cars inspired by the Lincoln Continental. That report in a minute. First, this message.
For 1968, Mercury's got it. The fine car touch. Inspired by Lincoln Continental. Mercury's got it. The elegant Colony Park station wagon with dual-action tailgate and gleaming yacht deck finish. Mercury's got it. A bigger selection of hardtops than any other car in its class. Mercury's got it. An all-new Mercury Montego two-door hardtop that's nearly half a foot more car than other luxury intermediates, with more room and riding comfort. Mercury's got it. The award-winning Mercury Cougar, a roaring success. Mercury's got it, the fine car touch. Get it at your Mercury dealers now.
This is Jim Simpson, along with Len Dillon, speaking from Grenoble, France, for Monitor Sports. Our daily summaries have contained stories of disappointment and a surprising amount of injuries to our American team. Today, on the fifth day of these Winter Olympic Games, the United States had its finest hour, thanks to the flawless figure skating performance of Peggy Fleming, who several hours ago won a gold medal for herself and the United States of America. Monitor Sports was there as Peggy received her medal and her ovation.
From yesterday, midnight, Sarah, gold medal, Peggy Fleming.
Fleming, 19 years old, from Colorado Springs, winner of the first gold medal for the United States. Second from East Germany, Gabriel Seifert. Third from Czechoslovakia, Hanna Moskova. And now, with more Olympic stories, here's Len Dillon.
Jim, in addition to Peggy Fleming's gold, other gold medals won today were by Kaija Mustonen of Finland in the 1500-meter speed skating competition and Olga Pohl of Austria in the ladies' downhill. And in hockey, Sweden defeated East Germany 5-2, and Czechoslovakia had to fight for its life to down Little Finland 4-3 and remain unbeaten. And Jim, I don't know whether it's me, too much good French cooking, long hours, the weather, lack of American gold medals, or what. But somehow or other, I just don't feel as though this Olympic is exciting. The crowds in Grenoble haven't impressed me either, not only because of their general lack of enthusiasm, but also in their lack of attendance. I get the feeling, and I could be wrong in this, that the people in Grenoble, not immediately associated with the games, really don't care what goes on. For example, in Innsbruck in 1964, the feeling of suspense and excitement seemed apparent every day. Well, tomorrow's another day. The games are still young, and the human animal, constructed as he is, lives in hopes of better things to come.
Thank you, Len Dillon, and from Grenoble, France, this is Jim Simpson speaking for Monitor Sports.
More people have switched to Cougar than any car in its class. The Big Cat is a roaring success. Cougar, the only car in its class that gives you concealed headlamps, sequential turn signals, V8 engine, bucket seats, floor-mounted stick shift, all at no extra cost. The fact is, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, Cougar is America's best-equipped luxury sports car. Mercury's got it. The Big Cat. Cougar. Get it at your Mercury dealers.
Listen to Monitor tomorrow for more reports direct from the Winter Olympics in Grenoble, France, brought to you by Lincoln Mercury. For Mercury, Montego, and Cougar. Floyd Kramer and Gentle on My Mind. Southwestern Michigan hears us on WBCK, the voice of the serial city, Battle Creek, Michigan. Wherever you're listening, stay tuned. There's more to come. I'm your monitor host, Ted Steele.
Hollywood producer Stanley Kramer visits Monitor later this evening, right here on NBC.
Was it an accident or a murder? Peter Van Eyck stars in An Alibi for Death on the Sunday Film Festival at 11:30.
That's tomorrow night at 11:30 on Channel 4, New York.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Here come the Mills Brothers on Monitor and Cab Driver. Hurry up, the meter's running, boys. On Monitor now with Manhattan Safari. Thank you.
American Companion keeps you up to date with newest news and music and quality on NBC.
Monitor 68 on February 10th. Monday, as you know, is Lincoln's birthday. And on that occasion, we usually recall some of his famous speeches or his wise and witty sayings. But in this half hour, we'll hear about Lincoln's lost speech, one you may not have known about and never read about because it was not written down by Abraham Lincoln or anyone else. I'm your monitor host, Ted Steele. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Trini Lopez with Wendy.
Out from under the stairway, calling a name that's lighter than air. Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's Wendy. Who's tripping down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody she sees? Who's reaching out to capture a moment? Everyone knows it's Wendy. And Wendy has flash at the sound of light, and windy has wings that fly above the clouds, above the
something we've forgotten about Abraham Lincoln is that he wasn't always a winner. He had his failures. The first time he ran for the Illinois State Legislature in 1832, he was beaten. And when he opened up a store in New Salem, Illinois, he went broke in less than a year. And those debates he had with Stephen Douglas, Lincoln may have outtalked him, but they were running for the United States Senate. And when the votes were counted, Douglas won the election. During the time Lincoln's political career was not going well, something happened that changed things for him. Author Elwell Crissy describes that event in a new book. He was interviewed for Monitor by reporter Johnny Earp.
Mr. Crissy, you author a brand new book, Lincoln's Lost Speech. Just where did you get that title?
That title is the title of the speech that Lincoln delivered in Bloomington, Illinois in 1856 when the Illinois Republican Party was organized. It's called his Lost Speech, because his oratory that day was so overwhelming that everyone was spellbound and no one remembered to take any notes. And afterwards, he refused to write it out. It was too radical.
Right. Now, when and where did you come onto this thing now? You come back into the picture just in the last year or so.
Well, actually, research into Lincoln's Lost Speech started 13 years ago or more. And the deeper I dug, the more I found. And I found eventually, after some 10 years' work, that the lost speech, so-called, actually was a turning point of Lincoln's career. And without it, it's almost certain he could not have been elected president at all.
Why was it so significant? What was in the speech that made it so terrific?
It came at a low point in Lincoln's life. He had gotten into very bad repute in Illinois politics at his term in Congress when he opposed the Mexican War, came back discredited, went back to riding the circuit. But the following year, he attempted to get himself elected to the U.S. Senate and was defeated by a very close vote, which almost demolished his confidence. The following year, the anti-slavery people in Illinois organized a convention to be held at Bloomington and invited everyone to come. Lincoln was not particularly invited, but he came, expecting to speak. But he, by that time, was looked upon as a has-been, and his career was behind him, and he wasn't on the program, and the entire day's event went by, and he was not asked to speak at all.
What was the date now of that again?
The date of that convention was May the 29th, 1856.
All right, now, Lincoln appeared at this convention, then what happened?
At the end of the day, at 5:30, he sat in the back row, and the convention was about to close, when some of those asked him to come to the front and, as they thought, tell some funny stories to end the convention. But instead of that, he was boiling up inside with fury and a great deal of concern about the slavery issue, and he poured forth, for the next hour and a half, the greatest oration of Lincoln's life. It was so compelling that even the newspaper men present forgot to take notes. After it was over at 7 o'clock, the entire convention burst forth in a great bedlam of applause and excitement, and Lincoln was a new man. But the day following, they asked him to write it out. He said, no, it's too radical, I can't do it, and I won't do it. Let it stand on its own merits. And so it became known as the Lost Speech. But from that moment on, Lincoln was the leader of the new Republican Party.
The obvious question now is, where and how did you get any excerpts or anything at all from that speech?
Actually, there are none that are trustworthy except two sentences. The last closing sentence, old men around Central Illinois who heard it, remembered it for 50 years later, were quoting it almost word for word. At that moment, at the very end of the convention, in the twilight, no lights had been turned on. They were all too excited. Lincoln stood up in his 6 feet, 4 inches high, shook his fists overhead, and in a great thundering voice, roared out at the convention, we say to our southern brethren, ye shall not leave the Union, and we won't.
I've always been on the impression Mr. Lincoln was a man of brevity, yet you say he spoke for an hour and a half just ad libbing. That must have been a different sort of a Lincoln.
It was a different Lincoln, and it was the greatest rage and fury of anger that Lincoln experienced in his entire lifetime.
Thanks to you, Mr. Elwell Crissy of Bloomington, Illinois, the author of a new book, Lincoln's Lost Speech. Good luck to you, Mr. Crissy.
Thank you, Johnny.
Now, this is Johnny, your thermometer.
The interesting thing about Lincoln is he was one of the most human men who ever walked the earth. Maybe that's why his memory lives. Monitor Music next. It's the Arbors with You Are the Music.
You are the music I hear. You are the whole symphony. The drums are strong when you're near. Our love becomes the harmony.
At 15 minutes before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Focus on Newark, a nonprofit citizens campaign incorporated in New Jersey, plans to feed and clothe thousands of the most needy families in the central Newark area. The campaign asks contributions from merchants, business and industry, civic, fraternal and religious organizations, as well as individuals. Be a part of this important campaign. Telephone 642-6025 in Newark. Volunteers will pick up your contribution of new clothing and food supplies, or find out how you can deliver your contribution personally to the Focus on Newark warehouse. Call today, 642-6025. Thank you.
Flight you'll love, show and sell. My new program, weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. on WNBC. This is Sterling Yates, inviting you to swap an hour of your time for mine. Enjoy the funny business and find yourself a bargain. Mornings from 10 to 11 on Show and Sell.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Here's Edie Gourmet on Monitor with Life is But a Moment.
Your young little girl, and you can't see past tomorrow. So sing, little girl, for the world is yours today. Life is but a moment.
Message here from the post office, care of Monitor. Always add zip code to both the mailing address and your return address. Zip code helps our postal workers sort and deliver the mail quickly and directly. Don't hold up the mail. Use zip. Mail moves the country, and zip code moves the mail. Here's Steve Lawrence singing I've Gotta Be Me.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong.
Here is a special WNBC News report. The sanitation men are going back to work. For that story, here is WNBC News reporter Joe Coggins at the sanitation men's union headquarters.
The garbage trucks will roll tonight. The more than 500 shop stewards and business agents of the Sanitation Men's Union have just given unanimous approval to Governor Rockefeller's formula to settle the strike. Men of the 11 o'clock shift have been ordered to make their services available to their garages and to Acting Sanitation Commissioner Maurice Feldman. There'll be a little extra activity. The men on the shifts who are driving the trucks past the civil jail where Union President John DeLurie is now residing have been instructed to lean on their horns and as they go by shout, "Go, go, go, DeLurie," just to give their support to the incarcerated Union President. Repeating once again, the garbage trucks will roll tonight. The more than 500 shop stewards of the business agents and of the Sanitation Men's Union have just given unanimous approval to Governor Rockefeller's formula to settle the strike. Joe Coggins, WNBC News, at the Sanitation Men's Union headquarters.
This has been a special WNBC News report. Now back to Monitor, already in progress.
I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've got to be free, daring to try to do it or die, I've got to be me. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've got to be free, daring to try, to do it or die, I've got to be.
Monitor's Dr. Joyce Brothers discusses problems, large and small, in her series All About People. The problem she'll tackle next is the headache. You know, it starts in the back of the neck and then goes up and toward the front of the head. Well, let's call the doctor.
Does it make you mad to get a headache? That's good. Getting mad at the headache may help you to get rid of it. You were probably angry before you got the headache, but you controlled your anger. Admirable of you, to be sure. You spared the rightful victim of your wrath and punished yourself. Now you've every right to get mad at the pain you're suffering. Don't hold back. Blow up. Go all out. Getting anger out of your system may rid you of the headache as well. Why? Well, doctors have found that people who get angry and show it rarely suffer from psychosomatic headaches. The people who do get headaches are the people who don't get mad, or rather, don't show it. They can't even admit that they're angry. They don't believe in hate and violence, so they keep theirs locked up tight. What happens when they're provoked? Their bodies prepare to fight. Blood rushes to the brain where it will be needed to direct an attack against the enemy. This preparation for battle alarms the non-combatant. He refuses to allow things to go any further. He calls a halt right there. As a result, the increased flow of blood, which was meant for heart, lungs, and muscles, is blocked in his cranium. There it pounds uselessly, and he suffers the consequences with a headache. The headache-prone person is usually an ambitious perfectionist. He can't bear to be wrong, inaccurate, or inefficient. His standards are so high that no one could possibly meet them. His attempts to do so keep him under intolerable tension, which in turn produces chronic fatigue. We expect a constantly tense and tired man to fly off the handle. When he does, we forgive him. But the headache-prone individual would never forgive himself for such uncontrolled behavior. He bottles up his hostility in his head. When the pain this causes finally drives him to express his rage, the pain may go away. It never hurts to get angry at a headache. It only hurts when you don't. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers, Monitor.
Consultations with Dr. Brothers every weekend on Monitor and Monday through Friday on NBC Radio's Emphasis. Here are the Peter DeAngelis Singers with When Will Love Rule the World.
Understand.
forget.
What?
To call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
It's 2 days after Lincoln's birthday, so figure it out from that. Or if you find it easier, it's 8 days before Washington's birthday. It's also the day before Susan B. Anthony's birthday. In case you've forgotten that important date, it's February 15th. Celebrate. Take a woman to lunch that day. Hey, that's not a bad idea, is it? Candice. NBC News on the Hour is next, and then there'll be more of Monitor. I'm your host, Ted Steele.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Monitor.
Monitor, New York. Your weekend sound on WNBC, New York.
It's wonderful to be alive, and sometimes even more wonderful to be young and healthy, especially healthy at any age. But there are tens of thousands of men and women, yes, and youngsters too, alive but not much more, lying in hospital beds, crippled with diseases that we once called incurable, and today we call them chronic. These hospitalized men, women, and children, afflicted with cancer, arthritis, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, stroke, multiple sclerosis, these are only a few of the causes which keep them in hospital beds or wheelchairs, not for days or weeks, but for months and even years. Only through medical research, only through extensive rehabilitation, can they be given hope for their future. Will you help give them a second chance, the opportunity to really live again? Please send a generous contribution today to Jewish Chronic Diseases Hospital, Brooklyn, New York, 11203. Thank you. It's 9 o'clock.